City of Roses historic sports arena, it's Portland Professional Wrestling. Brought to you in part by Tom Peterson Superstores.
Happy holiday season from the Portland WrestleCast. I'm Jim Valley. You know, usually I use the old theme to Portland wrestling, but because everything we're talking about takes place in 1991, I thought I'd use the opening that you might be familiar with if you're a younger fan. It was 30 years ago that Portland Wrestling on KPTV Channel 12 got the proverbial coal in its stocking. Without much fanfare, Portland Wrestling announced it was leaving television. Now, if you listen to the archives, you know that we've talked to announcer Don Koss about it. Obviously, people always point to longtime sponsor Tom Peterson declaring bankruptcy. And that's true. Tom bought his competitor, Stereo Superstore, at an auction and ended up overextending himself, and even put an ad in the papers saying that he needed help. And if you were watching television at the time, you probably noticed that Tom Peterson's commercials got a lot shorter.
Tom's Best Buy, VCR and color television, four pieces, only $2.99. That's Tom Peterson.
After that, they then restructured as the infamous Tom Peterson's and Gloria's too.
Hello, my name is Gloria Peterson, and I want to thank the thousands of wonderful customers and friends who responded when we needed your help the most. Our stores are stocked with new merchandise, and we are ready and able to beat our competition during this holiday season. Look around. Where else are you going to find these great values? Things are better than ever at Tom Peterson's because Tom is listening to me.
But it was more than just Tom Peterson's bankruptcy and restructuring. Vince McMahon and the WWE, then the WWF, paid the TV station for the time slot. We'll talk about that more later. But there were also issues with the Oregon Boxing and Wrestling Commissions and its stern and sometimes inconsistent enforcement of the rules. Now that is another show, maybe a series of shows in itself. These are all pretty well-known reasons. And again, in the archives, Don Koss mentions another reason that nobody talks about. Commercials and sponsors don't just show up on television. The radio and TV stations, even websites, streaming services, there are salespeople that make calls and create relationships with potential sponsors. You know, and according to Don Koss, the station hired a bunch of new, young account representatives who just weren't interested in selling Portland Wrestling. And the Grappler and I will talk about that. Portland Wrestling started in 1953. Originally called Heidelberg Wrestling, named after a local brewery. Is Heidelberg still around? I don't even know. I just remember that in my time, they came in these short, rounded bottles, like rounded on the sides, and people would call the beer H-bombs because they sort of looked like grenades. Heidelberg Wrestling started on KPTV Channel 12, then moved to KOIN or Coin TV, the CBS affiliate, in 1955. Then, in 1967, it returned to KPTV, where it finished up its run after 24 years on December 28, 1991. I remember talking to a friend of mine. He talked about how the technology was always behind on Portland Wrestling. For example, when everybody was switching to color programming, Portland Wrestling for the longest time was still black and white. Now, think about what was happening in 1991. The steroid scandal and trial was still a big deal. Lex Luger was WCW champion and going to be moving on in 1992 to the World Bodybuilding Federation. Ric Flair had left WCW, and the WWE title was held up at the 1991 Survivor Series because of a controversial match between Hulk Hogan and The Undertaker. Ric Flair, of course, would win the title at the 92 Royal Rumble. And in Portland Wrestling, the top babyfaces were the Grappler, the Southern Rocker Steve Dahl, and Brian Adams, still dressed up as Crush, a member of the tag team Demolition. He, of course, would return to the WWE shortly, repackaged as Kona Crush, and would face another Northwest wrestler, Matt Bourne, as Doink the Clown at WrestleMania 9 in 1993. Now, on the heel side, Billy Jack, a few weeks earlier, was fired. We'll talk about that. So that means that the Bruise Brothers, Ron and Don Harris, were the top heels, along with Mean Mike Miller. Now, honestly, the TV was pretty good, very compelling, although there are a lot of DQs and outside interference in the television matches. But on December 7th, 1991, Don Koss announces that the end is near.
Mike Miller teaming up with Billy Jack Haynes against the team of Brickhouse Brown and Jesse Barr. Now, before we talk to these men here, a very special announcement. You may have already heard this. You may have read it in the paper. As you may know by now, December 28th will be our last televised program of Portland Wrestling after nearly 40 years on KPTV Channel 12. We want to thank Channel 12 right now for nearly 40 years of pro wrestling, of Portland wrestling on television. If you would like to thank the folks at Channel 12 for providing this entertainment for all these years, we would encourage you to send a little note, a postcard, to KPTV Channel 12, Post Office Box 3401. The zip code is 97208. That's Portland, Oregon, of course. And just to offer your thanks for providing Portland Wrestling on television for all these years. And our last program on Channel 12 will be Saturday night, December 28th. Now, Jesse Barr, Brickhouse Brown. Man, I tell you, they call this the House of Action, and you guys are a big part of it.
A lot of action going on tonight. You know, we've been on Channel 12 for a long time, ever since I was just a little bitty boy. In fact, I had my first television match right here in the sports arena on Channel 12. But you know what? If Channel 12 goes out the window, we're still going to be here. We're going to be back here every Saturday night. We're going to be coming to all your towns. So just check your papers, because Northwest Wrestling ain't going down.
You got that right. Well, I tell you, you have taken this place by storm, Mr. Brown.
Yes, sir. I got a mean man tonight, and Billy wanna be a jack. You get no slack. Are you upset because you got no teeth and can eat no lean? Well, you're gonna find we the toughest competition you ever seen. I told you, bring your face in the place, and sucker, bring your tail as well. It's gonna be some thumping, bumping, stomping you suckers upside to that head. And Jesse, I'm all excited thinking about what's in store for them two fools when we get a hold of them tonight.
Oh yeah, Mike Miller, bring your little toothpick down there, because I got something waiting for you.
All right, we will be back with all the action. Don't you dare go away. We'll be right back, right after this.
And if that sounds rather inauspicious, it doesn't get really much better. When the last show airs on December 28th, the opening was just like any other show.
Oh, like the man says, one more time from the Portland Sports Arena, the House of Action. First of all, the results from the Christmas night extravaganza. Listen to this. Christmas night, Crush retained his All-Asian and Northwest Heavyweight Championship belt. He defeated Buddy Rose in the middle of the ring out there. However, the Bruise Brothers interfered. There was a lot of confusion, but Crush retained both of his belts. Also that night, Al Madrill was forced to put on a diaper. He lost to Jesse Barr. However, the mask, Al Madrill's mask, did not come off that night, so the mask still remains on Madrill's head. Also that night, Steve Zoll and the Grappler regained their title. They are the tag team champions. They also regained their belt. They have the belts in their possession now, finally. They defeated the Bruise Brothers, and that night, because the Bruise Brothers were defeated, Don Owen took that leather strap, and he whipped the Bruise Brothers on that Christmas night. That was a good present for Don. However, all did not end well, because Don Owen did get roughed up again by the Bruise Brothers that night. And I don't know if that's going to result in some suspension or some fines. I certainly think it should, because you cannot do that to a promoter, especially to someone like Mr. Don Owen. We'll have more news on that a little bit later on. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we've got we not only have kids free, but we also have a six-man tag match tonight. On one side, we've got the team of Steve Dahl, the Grappler, and Crush. On the other side, we've got the Bruise Brothers and Playboy Buddy Rose. But you guys have plans for that.
Josh, you're two of the happiest guys in Oregon right now. Me and Steve Dahl, we got the tag team titles back. And you know what really made us happy? And all the people in Northwest, we beat them Bruise Brothers in a cage match last week. And Don Owens took that belt, and he strapped them boys' hides just like they deserved it. But you know something, Steve? That old Buddy Rose had to stick his nose in our business, and now they're in trouble, boy.
That's right. You know what? Buddy Rose, you might have bit off just a little more you can chew this week, baby, because tonight you got me, you got the Grappler, and you got the Crush, baby, right here, six-man tag. We're going to kick some serious butt, baby.
Don Cross, I'd like to come out here and thank all you people at home and all you people out there for all the cards and letters. Wish us Merry Christmas. We appreciate it. And we wish you right back at you and a Happy New Year's too. And I'd also like to mention, tomorrow night, Uncle Milt's Pizza Parlor is a place to be, baby. I've never been there before, but tomorrow night, you're going to see Grappler, Soulman, the whole crew, live and in living color. And Friday night, we're coming to Eugene. But tonight, the sixth man is going down. Yeah!
That's right, baby, like the man said. Next Friday, every Friday and Saturday we'll be in Eugene. We'll be right back here in Portland. We ain't going nowhere. We're here to stay, just like Portland Wrestling, baby.
That's that right. We're going to treat you so many ways. You bound to like one of them, so beat us if you can.
I love that. All right. Now, this isn't the way we wanted it, but after 40 years, nearly 40 years on Portland television, the past 24 of these being on KPTV Channel 12. This is our last telecast on Channel 12. Well, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, we're going to give you something to remember for the next 40 years.
I'll make my own.
We'll be right back. Don't go away. Are you ready?
And for the ending? No pomp, no circumstance, just an end of the show. Babyface promo segment with Steve Dahl, Brickhouse Brown, and Demolition Crush. The strategy is obviously to promote the upcoming live shows and sell tickets rather than celebrate the legacy.
Line of action, Steve Dahl, extravaganzas.
That's right, Mike Miller. Buddy Rose, I heard you in front of your mouth about me and my partner Brickhouse. Baby, let me tell you something. It's like this right here. You guys are way too long-winded, and you ain't proved nothing to us. Now it takes two of you on this man right here. But next Saturday night, it's going to be 2-on-2. It's either going to be a little bit different. Ain't that right, Brixton?
I'm going to tell you something right now. I promise all the people I will open up a can of kick butt and dues will be paid.
Somebody else be looking black come next Saturday night, baby.
You know, Cos, I'm getting just about sick and tired of coming out here every Saturday night and having to eat a steel chair sandwich. Well, Crush is going back to his old ways, baby. And that's demolishing people. Don't get me wrong, I still love you fans as much as I ever have, and I can take this opportunity to thank Channel 12 for 40 great years. We'll be missing you, but nothing's gonna change. We're on the House of Action every Saturday night right here in Portland. Wrestling's gonna go on as scheduled, as well as Eugene. As far as next Saturday, these titles being on the line, that was Don Owens' idea. Crush, I can give a fat rat's behind whether or not the titles are on the line, Bruce Brothers. The bottom line is this. You gotta step in the ring with me. These belts are what you want, then just come and get them, baby.
Whoa, all right. You get your friends, your neighbors, you keep coming down here to the Portland Sports Arena every Saturday night. There are so many people to thank over the years. My goodness, the memories just flood to this entire arena. I want to thank the greatest camera crew in the world of pro wrestling today, the people that we've got up here in the crow's nest, the people out in the bus, and going back in the years, Hunt Decker, Larry Neat, everyone at Channel 12, thank you so much. And the wrestling world, Dutch Savage, Stan Stasiak, Tony Bourne, the people who got me started here, and of course, Frank Bonema, the late, great Frank Bonema, there, and most of all, you fans who have made it possible. Now, don't leave us. You got to keep supporting us. And again, we thank you for being here. And Channel 12, we thank you for the past 24 years and certainly 40 years of Portland wrestling being on television. This is just part of this era that's coming to an end. Portland Pro Wrestling keeps on going, baby, all over the place. So we're going to see you tomorrow night in Vancouver at Uncle Milt's. We're going to see you in Eugene next Friday. We're going to see you here at the Portland Sports Arena next Saturday, right? You bet we will. This is Don Kloss for the last time. Thank you very much for joining us from the Portland Sports Arena on Portland on KPTV Channel 12. So we'll see you here in person next Saturday night. Bye-bye.
And with that, Portland wrestling was pretty much over. Crowds would continue to dwindle until Saturday night, May 30th, in front of about 80 fans at the Portland Sports Arena. Don Owen announced he was calling it quits. The next week in June, Sandy Barr took over and rebranded his new wrestling venture as Championship Wrestling USA. And that is another story for another time. Now, think about this. Let me put it in perspective for you. In 2023, Raw will celebrate 30 years on the air. An incredible achievement. But it won't surpass Portland Wrestling until around the year 2030. Now, I'm sure it will, don't get me wrong, but it's amazing to think how long Raw has been on the air, and it's still not even close to the longest-running pro wrestling TV show in history. Now, before it wrapped up, there was one special segment. The Saturday before Christmas, 1991. Rowdy Roddy Piper, who was booking the territory with the Grappler and hung out in the dressing room a lot when he was in town, came out and did this tribute to Christmas, Portland Wrestling, and Don Owen.
You're gonna kick yourself for not being here tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, we have with us a very special guest. He's known around the world of pro wrestling. He is a household name in pro wrestling worldwide. He started right here. Ladies and gentlemen, Piper Claus is here. Rowdy Roddy Piper. Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you. How you folks doing, man? It's real nice. Hello, Mr. Peterson. Real nice to see you. I've been reading about you. I heard a lot about everybody, you know, and I come here for a couple of reasons. First of all, you didn't think I was going to let Christmas go by and not say a ho-ho to you, did you? No. But there'd be a lot on my mind today. There's a lot on my mind. You know, it is Christmas, and it is a festive season, you know, but I understand, and I'm sure you've all heard the rumors that Portland Wrestling, when Channel 12 are kind of divorcing each other here. And I want to say something. I want to say to
first of all, to Channel 12, that I think that they are a tremendous, tremendous organization, and they have carried Portland Wrestling for 35 years. They've been carrying it. 35 years! Why, you're only, what, 40, 50 then when that started? I love you. You know, for that long a time, I got to explain to you at Channel 12 and to all you folks what you have accomplished and what you're doing. You know, out of Portland came, we had stars, what, you had Superstar Billy Graham, Jimmy Snuka, Mad Dog Vachon, Lonnie Mane, Buddy Rose, but Buddy Rose. We had, name some more. Who do we have?
Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Rowdy Roddy Piper. Yeah, yeah.
Tough Tony Bourne came out of here. Out of Portland and out of Oregon came more superstars in professional wrestling than any other place. That's the truth. And for that alone, we must thank Channel 12 for that. Why you want to leave us, I don't know. Maybe when you were born, Mommy built you a swing facing the wall. I don't know about that part, but I got to thank you for what you done. Now, that brings me to another fella. The Grinch of the Portland Sports Arena. Another fella that we have come down to honor tonight, and I'm very proud to do that. And I want you to know, when it comes to Roddy Piper, if it wasn't for Portland Wrestling, I don't know where I'd be. It gave me the opportunity to grow. It gave me the opportunity to have a family, and it gave me the opportunity to be a decent Oregon citizen. And for that, I thank you. But now to Don Owens. Let's talk about Don Owens, the original Grinch of Christmas. I know he's back in the locker room, and I've had arrangements to bring this old, bald, fluffy guy up here and to talk to him. Get in here. Get in here.
Grinch, brother, I feel the Grinch of Christmas, Don Owens. Hey, this is a festive season. Everybody knows it. It's just like at Piper's Pit Stop Transmission Center, 156th Division, brother. We're always having a good time, and we'll treat you so many ways. Wait. You're bound to like one of them.
Wait, you bet you believe. First of all, Don Owens here. Come over here where everybody can see you. I want you, come on. You gotta love him. You gotta love him. You know, Donald, I know I'm supposed to pay the insurance bill. I know that, man. I understand that. Don and I have gone, you know, great, 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 great Grandpa Don and I have been together a long time. And you know, there's a lot of things you guys don't know as we go along. And I know there's a lot of wrestlers out there, whether they'll admit it or not, that we're down on their luck, that this guy would lend them money. He'd lend them money for their families. He'd lend them money, break his leg. And some of them, a lot of them, never repaid it. But you hardly heard him bitch at all. Hardly. A little bit. Okay. He told us about the mills are closing down. And first, here, give me that hat there, little girl. First of all, this is the original Grinch. We need a little Christmas ho-ho here. You want to check him out. Now, before we get to that, I want Don to do something that hurts him. He did take care of wrestlers. When I got blackballed and absolutely nobody would have anything to do with me, Don Owens gave me a job and allowed me to beat up a lot of people. You know, I've had more than 300 fights in this building.
Yes, you have.
And in all of those fights all the time, Don was always standing there collecting the money while I was bleeding. But anyway, but he was there behind me the whole time, and he's been behind everybody. Even wrestlers that took advantage of Don Owens went behind his back, stabbed him, lost everything they had, come crawling back. He still give him another chance. That's a man's man. That's what Oregon is made out of. And he is 35 of professional years of wrestling. And I personally love him. And I know that the rest of Oregon does too, man. Amen. Now, it is Christmas time. It is Christmas time, you old Grinch, and we got to get you in the fluffy spirit here. So when I thought, give me a pretty young lady, there's so many. Come over here. Yes.
Are all these children yours?
Well, you know, I met that VCR from Tom Peterson, it never came in. It was a good one, but we never got it. I want you to come up, give old Uncle Grinch a kiss and a hug. Now here's gonna be the painful part. So this part I thought I'd help the Grinch out with himself. You're gonna have to give away a little Christmas stuff. Give the lady a dollar, would you? I like that. Now there's all kinds of little ladies here. Give the little ladies a dollar, would you? Turn around there so the camera can see that mug like they ain't never seen it before. Look at that. Hey, little, look at, no, give it to the girl, not in your pocket. There you go. No. We got all kinds of Christmas money we're gonna be giving out. Just that. Be right with you, Doc.
He's throwing money out here in the...
Hang on. The most important point. You keep drinking that apple cider, boy, and that's going to keep growing there. The most important point of this whole thing is not only do we want to keep Portland Wrestling around, because Portland Wrestling will live forever. Will live forever. There is no doubt about it. Everybody scoot back here. No, Don, you gotta give that one away. You gotta give them away, Don. Get in. Come on in here. I want you to know something. This is a plaque here that I haven't read myself. The plaque says, in appreciation to the Owens family for supporting pro wrestling for 65 years. We all love you. We all appreciate you. We all appreciate what you've done. And if Channel 12 ain't gonna carry us, then that's your business. But we are going on no matter what it takes. And if there's ever been a more fair promoter and a more wonderful man, I have never met him. And that's as much as good as I can say about him, man. I love you. That's for you.
I appreciate
that. It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure.
This is fantastic. Don Owen, Roddy Piper, the Grappler, 65 years. Pro wrestling means a lot to a lot of people.
Pro wrestling means a lot, but now it be the gift-giving time. First of all, the Dornbecker Hospital. Let's not forget the Dornbecker Hospital. All the wonderful children there. Merry Christmas to ya. All the kids, I want you to go wave to the camera. Merry Christmas. I want everybody to start just there. Come on. Oh, look at this pretty. Now, everybody start with jingle bells, and we're going to be handing out money. Are you ready? One and a one and a one, two, three. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Come on, folks. Oh, what fun it is to ride in Santa's underwear. Oh. Hey, jingle bells. May you be a half an hour in heaven before the devil knows you're dead. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas. And it is going to be a happy new year. Don Owen, thank you. We'll be back. We'll be back with who knows what. Don't you dare go away. We'll be right back. Merry Christmas. All right.
Now we'll talk to Edward Thomas, a longtime Portland wrestling fan who was at the Portland Sports Arena virtually every Saturday in the last years, including the final show. And as a matter of fact, that Santa hat included in the Piper segment on Don Owen belonged to his roommate, and they asked to borrow it. We'll get his perspective, and then we'll talk to the Grappler, Len Denton, who was booking the territory for Don when it all came to an end. He dealt with the commission. We'll talk about that. He had meetings with TV people at KPTV, and he talked to Don about the end of Portland wrestling on television. Some great stories and a true insider's perspective. But first, as always, a word from our sponsor.
It's Tom's Happy Holiday Sale. Save $61, recliners from Lane. Three great colors, beige, blue, mauve.
Three great styles. Wall Saver, only $288. Rocker Recliner, only $288. Swivel Rocker Recliner, only $288. You save $61, and the plant stand is free. Now that's Tom Peterson, the heavy place to buy. It's worth the trip.
How long had you been going to the Portland Sports Arena?
Since we're talking about the end of the run on TV, definitely every week for the last year and a half, and probably quite often for a couple of years.
So, for those who haven't ever been, describe the infamous Portland Sports Arena.
It was a dump. I loved it. It was an old renovated bowling alley, and you could tell because the ceilings were pretty low. So you didn't see a whole lot of moves off the top rope that like when Jimmy Snuka would do his superfly leap. That was probably the first thing that I saw. It was not the biggest building, but you could cram a bunch of people in there. I think what was the capacity I heard one time was around, if it was as standing room only, was around 4,000. And there was probably 2,000 there, between 2 and 2,500 every week. It was just, the atmosphere was great because it was fairly small, so everybody was pretty closed in. It was pretty compact. And they had the Crow's Nest, which aptly named because it was up above everything, so the commentators could see, and the cameras had a good angle on it. And it was magic to
me. Let me ask you this. It sounds like you were a regular, and Portland, there's a few territories that were known for having a lot of regulars. There were a lot of familiar faces each and every week, were there not?
Oh, absolutely. The group that I sat with the last year and a half, we had the same seats. They reserved our seats for us every week. And so we sat with the same people, and yeah, it was great. There were probably at least a good 50 to 60% of the people I saw there on a regular basis.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch any of the TV and you look into the crowd, virtually week to week, you're going to see mostly the same people.
Absolutely, especially as far as the ringside went. You know, the general admission was a little bit different, but as far as the ringside seats, it was almost always the same core group that you could see on TV.
I went to the sports arena a couple of times for wrestling and a few times for Sandy Bar's flea market, but I think the closest tickets we could get in the late 70s, early 80s, were in the bleachers across from the camera, like, you know, near the top of the ceiling. So,
yeah,
there were a lot of regulars who sat ringside and closer.
Yeah, I remember it. Like I said, the last year and a half or so was pretty much every week, and I had a front row seat reserved every week at that point. But prior to that, probably the year prior, it was a crapshoot on what I was going to get. I would always get ringside. I was always able to get that, but as far as having a consistent seat, somebody basically either had to die or just move out of the area for you to get a seat.
So the last year or so, when you were going every Saturday, how were the crowds?
I've seen a steady decrease over the couple of years that I've been there. And a lot of it, with hindsight and knowing what was going on with the commission and stuff, there was probably, I would say easily 1,200 to 1,500 on a regular basis. But It looked a lot like a lot less because of the capacity was roughly, you know, between what, $3,000 and $4,000.
Yeah.
So 1,200 to 1,500, you know, half empty building didn't look great. But that's still a pretty good number.
Yeah, considering Don owned the building and made money off the concessions, he's probably still doing okay.
Oh, absolutely. I would say, because I think we were paying for a front row seat, I think I was paying either $7, and I think the last year it might have been gone up to $8. So he wasn't charging a ridiculous amount of money. So yeah, he had to be, I think he was doing pretty good, especially with the concessions and not having a payment, a lease payment.
Right. And you figure 10 guys on the card, roughly an $8,000 house. You know, he's doing okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, at any given time, there's probably maybe 5 or 6 of the guys that are making a fairly decent number. Yeah. You know, the lower the card, obviously they're making less. So yeah, he was definitely doing pretty good. Yeah.
Bottom of the card, probably $50.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Top of the card, a couple hundred, something like that. So
yeah.
Did you notice before they announced the end of TV, did you get a vibe or notice anything leading up to it?
Not really. The guys kept it pretty close to the vest if something was going down. Because I've been there for a while. I would talk to the guys, some of the guys after the show, and nobody seemed to. They were saying that the spot shows were the smaller shows were down, and you can see that the sports arena was down a little bit, but there was no vibe that it was going to come to an end. And then you started hearing about in the news about Tom Peterson. And if you didn't know that he was their main sponsor, you would think nothing of it.
Right.
But knowing that he was their go-to guy, that kind of gave me a little bit of a vibe there. Once he started seeing his, you know, money troubles, you know, kind of a few of the core of us were like, this, you know, asking ourselves, is that going to change anything? And obviously it ended up being the case, but.
So.
And I'm sure it wasn't just that. Channel 12 probably wanted their truck available for other things on Saturdays.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of things led up to it.
Yeah, Grappler and I talk about that, but. From a fan standpoint, they announced it over, you know, the sound system there wasn't the best. Could you hear the announcement, or did you already know because it was in the paper that the TV was coming to the net to an end?
I didn't know that it was coming to an end, and it was you could hear it. And I was actually, it's funny, I was just watching the opening to that, the night that they made the announcement, which was the 14th, 2 weeks prior, on TV, and it was like the air was let out of the building, and I didn't realize it, that it was that way, but you could hear, it was pretty audible, that it was, oh crap, this is really coming to an end.
Right.
And yeah, I didn't know. A lot of us were thinking that they would, you know, probably shop around, try to get TV somewhere else. I don't know if they ever did, but my assumption would be that they did. And then it just didn't pan out for whatever reason. But there was a lot of hope that it was going to end up going somewhere else, onto another station and continue. And obviously that wasn't the case.
One of the things that surprised me was the last TV show, there really wasn't anything special. No major main event match. No nothing. It was just like another TV
show. Nothing to draw you to. Yeah, no reason for you to want to come back the next week.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember. I know the main event they had was the Bruise Brothers and Buddy Rose against the Grappler, Steve Dahl, and Crush, but I don't remember if that was on TV or not. If I remember correctly, it was Brickhouse Brown and either Mike Miller or John Rambo was like the last TV match.
I think the last match was one of the Harris brothers, I think Don, against John Rambo.
Okay.
Which...
Yes. Well, that's no reason... Who? No big angle, no big cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Nothing to draw you in at all for the to come in the next week. I mean, the core of us did. For a while, we kept coming. I stayed until they stopped. I kept going until, what was it, June or July, late June, I think it was.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there was no reason. If you're sitting at home watching, there was no draw, no cliffhanger, no reason to show up the next week.
Yeah.
And that was a big drop of the ball.
Well, and what was the crowd like that last night? Did it pick up?
It was not. I mean, it was a kids-free night, so there were a lot of people there. But just looking, the crowd. You couldn't see a lot of people sitting down. I don't know where I was. I could normally see myself. I must have been out browsing or bullshit with BSing with people or whatever I was doing. I don't know.
Right.
But there were a lot of empty seats at ringside because, you know, when kids were free, they got the general admission. So there were a lot of empty ringside seats, and that right there isn't a good sign either. So now, your last TV, you would think they would try to do something to draw, you know, people for that last TV, so the people watching could see a full house. And then, yeah, it was, the energy wasn't like it had been, but we all knew it was coming. So, you know, for a couple of weeks at least.
What about the week after TV? How was the crowd?
Considerably less. I would say it was still probably around 1,000, but it was, it wasn't free. I don't think kids were free that night. So it was a lot of regulars. And as the weeks went on, it started obviously dwindling down a little bit more. I don't remember an estimated number by the time they ended, but it was a good drop off of probably 400 or 500 that first week, and then it steadily trickled off, tapered off after that. It kept getting a little bit less and a little bit less.
Right. I guess it was by the end that last night, I think it was late May, when Don wrapped it up and passed it over to Sandy. I guess there was only like 80 people in the crowd.
Yeah, there wasn't a packed house. But anyways, yeah, it wasn't. Like I said, you know, it kept getting fewer and fewer people. And the people that were there were just the hardcore people that had been there all the time to begin with.
Right.
Because there's no way to get, you know, there's no way for them to draw in new people. If they, you know, there's no way really for them to promote their show without the TV. And it was sad to see it all end.
Was there a point where it really hit you, like a low crowd or no reaction? Was there a moment where it was just like the wind kind of came out of your sails?
I don't know a specific moment, but I remember probably around, March or so of 92, that you just knew. You know, it was a matter of time. There's no way he's had to be bleeding money. Because he still, at that point, still had, you know, Grappler was still here. I think Ron Harris was still here. I don't remember if Don was. So he still had a couple of the core guys. But, you know, I don't remember if Madrill was still here. I think Mike Winter had left. I know he at some point in there went to work at the power plant.
Right.
I think Bart was still here, but They didn't have any top talent, so even if us, the regular people, did bring new people in, which, you know, we did bring people in once in a while, you couldn't keep them because there was nothing to draw them in, nothing to keep them there.
Right.
Because there was no energy, the excitement just wasn't there, and probably around March, late March, it was pretty clear that it was done. It was just a matter of when it was going to happen.
Thanks to Edward Thomas. It's interesting to get a fan perspective. But now we'll talk to the man who was front and center and backstage for it all, the grappler, Len Denton, right after, as always, these messages.
Only at Tom Peterson. It's Tom's Happy Holiday Sale, where free is a very good price. Free popcorn for a year. Microwave ovens, your choice, only $99. Sharp, $99. Samuel, $99. General Electric, $99. Now that's Tom Peterson, the happy place to buy. It's worth the trip.
Can you believe that it's been 30 years?
No, sis. Unbelievable, man. You know, it's funny that you called me and we talked to each other about doing this this podcast here now, because it's the weirdest thing. I'm staying with a girlfriend of mine over in Bolivar, Tennessee right now, right? And I ran into a fella that was working Portland Wrestling for me for years with me, and he lives 10 miles down the road just this week, and I couldn't believe it, Jim. You remember Mean Mike Miller?
Of course.
Okay, well, all of a sudden I find out he's down the street. We connect, and he was just over here last night. We were looking at Portland Wrestling tapes, VHS style, believe it or not. He had a whole bunch of them. And then me and you talked, and I told Mike, I said, you're not going to believe this. I'm fixing to go into a podcast with Jim Valley about the last days of Portland Wrestling.
Well, hey, let me, if you could help me connect with Mike Miller, I'd love to talk to him too.
I'm going to tell you what, I'll give him a call when we get off of here, and I'll let him know you're interested in doing it, and I'll give him your phone number, okay?
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, geez, that guy did a lot of stuff, so he would be...
Oh, a lot of stuff, and, you know, like you're saying, the last days, I was thinking about it, you know, before I got on here, and when me and Mike got together too. See, I was booking the territory for Don Owens. I was running everything. And, you know, it started out when they got this wrestling commissioner. Bruce Anderson, yeah. Bruce Anderson came in and gave us all these new rules that Don Owens had never seen before. Now, I don't know, okay? I don't know for sure. I can't say this, but I have a feeling him and Vince were there in cahoots together, because, you know, we were told if you hit a guy with a metal chair, if you hit him with a table, or anybody bleeds, we're going to take your license and we're going to find Don Owens, and it will take his license if this keeps happening. You know, they're trying to just kill our show, and then when Vince would come in, they'd get juice and do whatever they wanted to do. It didn't matter. You know what I mean?
You know, there's an example. I was reading your book before the interview, Grappler, Memoirs of a Masked Madman, which is a fantastic book, still one of the best written books, I think, on wrestling you can find anywhere. I encourage everybody to read it. But in the book, speaking of the commission, you talk about how you were fined $250 for having tape on your thumb.
Yes, it's true. You know, yeah, see, I came into silly rules like that. What had happened, Jim, is we wrestled in Eugene on Friday night, you know, before, and the big show was Saturday in Portland at the sports arena, right?
Yeah.
And so you didn't want to miss that one. That's where you made your best payoffs, your best payday. And so Friday night I had wrestled a guy and broke my thumb on my right hand. And so I wasn't going to miss show Saturday because I had a broke thumb. I mean, you know, I've been wrestling forever, and, you know, that's just the way it was, you know. And so I taped it up and had one of the guys help me tape it tight as I could and went out there and wrestled on TV anyway. And then the next week, Don Owens tells me,
I got a letter right here from the and I got a call from the wrestling commissioner, Bruce Anderson. He wants you to come down Monday morning to meet him at his office. He's fining you $250. I said, what for? He goes, for excessive tape. I go, what? I mean, for excessive tape. So I went to the meeting with Bruce Anderson, and I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, why did you have your hands taped up? I told him because I told him the story. I explained it to him, and the best payday is on Saturday. He goes, oh, so you got a broken thumb, and you still wrestled, and you didn't notify a commission doctor? I can find you another $250 just for that. I said, dude, we're just trying to make a living, man. And so he goes, I tell you what. He goes, pay for lunch and we'll call it even. And this is a warning. I said, well, thank you very much. But let me tell you one. You're never going to believe he did this to me, okay? Being the booker for Portland Wrestling, I had to make sure, you know, I ran everything and took care of all the things and the problems with the wrestlers, right, for Don Owens and for Barry, his son. Well, when Bruce Anderson came in, Jim, he said, okay, everybody's got to be physical. Everybody's got to have physicals. Everybody's got to take a drug test now. And everybody's got to take an AIDS test because AIDS was real bad back then. That's when it was really bad, you know. And so I had to get all of the commission papers and go around and make sure all the guys got through their physicals and make sure everybody got through their drug testing and their AIDS testing. And it was up to me to get it turned in. That was part of my job, you know. And so I did all that kind of stuff. And so I got everything turned in, and I got a call from Bruce Anderson, and it was a Sunday. He said, can you come to my office Monday? I need to speak to you. And so we were off. We happened to be off that Monday. And so my ex-wife was with me, and she went with me because she wanted to do some shopping, you know, over by his office whenever we finished the meeting. So she went up there, and she's sitting down with me. And I'm like, you're not going to believe this. I walk in, Bruce Anderson, he's sitting there behind his big desk, and he'll sit down. And he goes, you know, he told me, talked a little bit, how you doing, everything. And he said, I have something I need to tell you. And I swear, he goes, your physical came back and you failed your AIDS test.
Wow.
And brother, listen, you could have heard a pin drop, okay? I don't, what do you say when somebody tells you that? I look over at my wife and I go, what? And she's looking at me. And then he goes, I'm just kidding, brother. I was just joking you. I went, what'd you say?
Wow.
I got so pissed off. I got up. So let me tell you something, Bruce Anderson. If you wasn't an old son of a da-da-da-da, you can imagine what I said. I would kick your ass. I said, let's go. He just called me out there just to do that. He was that type of asshole. You know what I mean?
Wow, that's
pretty low, I thought. You know?
We can do a whole show on the issues with the Wrestling Commission, but I think it's a great example to show that we talked about here that, you know, there were a lot of issues surrounding Portland Wrestling at the time before it closed down.
I got off the track. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, I think these are all great examples, but I think the commission, we could have you back. We could do a dozen shows with you, Lynn. Yeah. Sheesh.
But hey, I was going to say, I was leading into, you know, after that, we're talking about Portland Wrestling. You know, I was kind of reading or writing on the wall because he came in, right, Jim?
Yeah.
And then you know, Vince, he waited to put the last two guys was, I believe, Bob Geigel and Harley Race, put him out of business, and then Don Owens was the last one. And that's because his daddy was friends with Don for years and years and Bob Geigel, you know. But the thing was, I watched how it was going down, and then I worked a lot with it, you know, like I knew the guys at the TV station, Channel 12. I used to go there to help edit stuff and do stuff that a lot of guys, nobody else did, because I was the booker. And I would talk to guys, and I remember whenever Vince came in and he got a Saturday primetime TV show, and we're on, we air, we, you know, film our show on Saturday night. I go, man, so when I was going into Channel 12 one particular day while this is going on, I seen the president of the station. I knew him well. I'd met with him with Don before. He happened to be coming out of his office. I said, how you doing, sir? Good. He said, hey, Lenny, how you doing? Good. I said, hey, man, what's the deal with Vince and this and that? And he goes, hey. He said, and he was retiring. So he goes, listen, this goes no further than me and you, but I'm retiring, so I don't care. He said, Vince sends a quality show to the station, 10 times the production we can do when we film Don's, right? He said, he sends it to us. We don't have to touch just plug it in. He goes and pays us like $4,000 a week to air the TV show. And he goes, we send guys out on overtime to help film Don's show, and we send our truck out. He don't pay anything. We've been doing that for years. What do you think what do you think the people want me to do? Go with Vince or go with Don? The people investing money in the station. I go, I understand what you're saying. So you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Vince just bought him out. And so there's not much you can do unless you want to put your money together and try to fight him. But so that's how he got Don out of business. And then and you can see the writing coming down on the wall. You know, here we go. Sooner or later, he's just going to bury Don, so he has to get out. And that's what happened.
You know, another thing that doesn't get talked about a lot, and I've talked with the announcer Don Koss about this, and, you know, he runs radio stations, so he would know. He also said that there were a lot of young salespeople, ad executives at the station who were just unwilling to do the legwork to find new and more sponsors for Portland Wrestling. They just weren't interested.
That's true. That's exactly true. Tom Peterson was the number one sponsor, and then Tom was running behind on a lot of stuff, not paying what he's supposed to pay. I ain't blaming on Tom Peterson. He was a great guy for our sponsorship. But, you know, the station runs on money. It's a business, so they're not, you know, money talks. And so when those guys would help out to try to help sell sponsorship, it was easy pickings for Vince just to come in, give them a tape and pay them, and they have no legwork, and they jumped all over it, you know.
How was business before you lost television?
Business was good. We never had, it wasn't selling out every night, but it was, for us, the way you would gauge it would be like a Portland wrestling show, and we used to carry a good crowd in there. We never, I've seen probably over the 5 years I was there, I might have seen two or three houses that were down, but that was particular time of the year, like in the summer. Sometimes the houses would go down a little bit, and that's because they don't get a real long summer there, and people are out, and you can hardly get them in. Don Owens just go, oh, my God, it's like they're like lizards. They come out from under a rock. You can't get them back. You know, when they go out, and then as soon as that winter starts getting closer again, you know, we always had good houses in there. Until, you know, like you said, until they lost TV, and then everybody started, all they could see is Vince's TV, you know.
So it really was driven by that TV show.
That was this TV show. I don't know how many years it was on the air, but it had been there so long. It was like an institution, and you had the crow's nest, and people used to come and try to get on TV so they could go home and watch yourself back on TV. It was just, I mean, you had grandkids that grew up there and all kinds of stuff, and it was a great family show and a great institution. People loved it, and it was just passed down from one generation to the other for so long. In Portland Wrestling, you know, and Tom Peterson and all that, it was a great thing, you know. But then whenever it went off the air, the only thing they had to watch was WWE or WWF at the time. And so that it just took over, you know. You couldn't follow that, you know.
You know, I grew up in Centralia, which is halfway between Seattle and Portland. And I remember in 89, 90, 91, a regular stop for you guys was in Chehalis at the Visiting Nurses Bingo Hall. And you guys did pretty well there. I went to a couple of shows, and you guys did pretty well.
Yeah, no, it's funny you say that, because I love that show, Shales. I worked there a lot. We always did good there. And it's funny you say that, because people remember that for some reason, just like you did. Like, I'd walk in the gym in Portland, and this one guy owned the gym, and he thought he was funny being cute. He'd go, oh, here he comes, the main event from the nurses' visiting bingo hall. I go, you ass.
That's funny.
You know? Yeah, I gotta keep it up, Noel.
The bingo hall was an old grocery store, as I recall.
I tell you, man, I loved working here, Chance. That's good.
That's so funny. Yeah. My people.
Yes, sir.
How did you find out that TV was coming to an end?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Don knew it was coming, right? He decided that he was going to. So, you know, before I'll tell you, it's not a long story, but one thing, I got a question to ask you and other people, if they're listening. It's like, you know, okay, you had the NWA Wrestling Alliance all these years, right? National Wrestling Alliance. And you had all these promoters all over the country. I don't understand why, when Vince went to come in, okay, just think about this. When Vince started trying to put guys out of business to take over the United States, or right, and all the wrestling,
Yeah. How
come they never had a meeting and got together and tried to do something to at least, you know, try to fight it off or try to compete with a guy? It's like they just let him go one at a time and nobody teamed up to help each other like maybe they were in on it. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, wrestlers, they always think it's some kind of scam and everything. But I'm just saying, it just didn't make sense to me. They didn't even try to compete with a guy or try to fight it off. But to answer your question was, I was booking, like I said. So I went into the office in Portland on Saturday night, because I always had to come in, tell Don what I'm laying down, and then go lay it out to the boys. And then, you know, after the show, we all went in and talked to Don and got paid. And so I went in, Don said, sit down. And what he goes, you know, this bullshit about WWE and Vince and all this and that, and that damn wrestling commissioner is killing me. Everything I do, he turns around and he buries me. I can't do nothing on TV. I said, I know, Don. I know. We're fighting as hard as we can, man. He goes, hey, look, your battle's over. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, don't let nobody know, but in 2 weeks, we're closing. I went, what? I mean, I couldn't believe Don Owens was telling me this. And I said, what, Don? I mean, you've been here how many years? 80 years? 50? I don't know. Between him and his dad? And he said, yeah. He said, I can't. There's no sense in me throwing money after nothing. He said, I can't compete with it, so I'm closing her down. He said, Barry don't want to do it. I told Barry if he wants to fight it, go ahead. Barry goes, no. He's not interested, so I'm too old, and I'm not fighting no more. And I said, damn, Don. Well, thanks for letting me know, man. I got to start looking for a place to work. but I couldn't say anything, you know. I had to wait for Don to say it. So Don just came, and I believe he told the guys the night that we were closing it, this is it. I can't remember exactly, but when he let them know. He might have told me 2 or 3 weeks ahead, but I mean, I could not believe he's saying that, because I didn't figure Don would ever quit, because he already had his building paid off and he was already a multimillionaire and he didn't really need it. I figured he'd just do it just to fight him, just for the hell of it, but he didn't. He didn't want to do it, you know?
So you didn't have any sense that this was really coming?
No, I did not. Well, I knew. I knew that Vince was coming trying to close it down. Like I say, I didn't think Don would do that. I thought Don would say, you know what, we'll run head against him because I don't have – because Don was drawing enough people to cover the payroll for the boys, and he don't have any expenses. I mean, even his beer garden made enough money to cover the expense payroll for the boys in the dressing room. But I figured he would just at least keep Portland open and keep running, you know what I mean? But he didn't want to do it. He didn't want to compete. He didn't want to do it, so he wanted to shut it down. He said, Barry don't want to take it over, so I'm stepping out. I've had enough.
Why didn't Barry want to do it? Do you know?
He was a tight guy. You know, right now, if you hear the phone beeping, that's Mike Miller calling me. But I'll let him know. I'll talk to him. We're off here for you, Jim.
That'd be great.
No, Barry, you know something, Jim? Barry never was. He told me that. Barry told me himself. He never was into it, the wrestling thing. He just did it trying to help his dad. He wasn't a wrestling fan. I mean, he didn't really have no passion for promoting or anything like that. He just did it to keep the business running because his dad loved it.
Gotcha. You know, the last match on TV was it Don Harris and John Rambo?
I don't remember that.
It was one of the Harris twins. I think it was Don. Anyway, one of the Harris twins versus John Rambo. Why not something bigger to send the show off?
Yeah, I know. I know. I don't know why. He just wanted to do it. He just wanted to shut the doors and go. You know, you think he'd run some kind of a free kids night extravaganza. You know, because Kids Free Night was a big night there in Portland. You know, they do that once every month for the kids, you know?
Right.
And that was a big thing that they used to do. Different than I've ever seen anywhere else in the country. You know, they do it around the country, but Don had it where, you know, he did it all the time for the kids, you know? Like, sometimes they run on a Saturday and then run on a Tuesday, Portland, and just Kids Free on Tuesday. And still do a hell of a house. It is good.
And then you had the heel, Al Madrill, saying, I don't want those brats in here. And he was sort of the kid's heel. And that kind of, I think, drove things too.
It did. That was really nice. Al did a hell of a job on that, doing that. He got over that good, you know. He sure did. I like that. I loved working. You know, me and Mike Miller were talking about Portland wrestling. When I first went there, Jim, I just got through working for Watts and a bunch of people all over the country, right?
Yeah.
And I forget where I was at. But anyway, I've been working big coliseums, you know, working the Superdome, you know, coliseums in Houston, Sumo Palace in Japan, Hula Bowl in Hawaii, all that kind of stuff. So I get out the car and I go, I remember I rode up to there with, I think it was with Dave Sahara, Cuban Assassin. He drops me. I said, Dave, this is the big arena in Portland? He goes, yeah, this bowling alley? And I go, man. I said, you know what? I'm getting me a ticket out of here. What is this? You know, this nickel, five and dime. But you know what? Once I got there and started working it, learned the history, I'm so glad I got to work Portland. That was a great place to work, that Portland Sports Arena. I loved it. You know, it was really great. I'm glad I didn't miss it, you know?
Did the last TV sell out?
No, it didn't. It didn't sell out, no. Because, like you said, they didn't promote it as like the last TV. I think they just went off the air. And then the next week, I don't know exactly how they handled it on the air. I was done, you know.
Yeah.
But it was, because I had no part into that. But, I just did the show, and then I guess they let the people know later, you know.
Yeah, you know, looking back on it, I think people can say, oh, there should have been a big send-off and things, but in the moment, you've got to worry about business and selling tickets. So, I mean, the last shows, even the last show, primarily focused on upcoming cards and, you know, the schedule and letting people know that you guys were still going to be around.
Yeah, because you're still going to the weekly different shows and stuff. And then I guess Sandy Barr tried to run it for a while without TV, but it didn't work too good. I didn't really work for Sandy after that. And then, I don't know, I think Sandy was, they tried to run it for a little bit, but he couldn't get the houses in there to support the talent or anything, you know,
right,
without the TV.
You know, Roddy Piper, you know, helped you book or booked, and you helped him, however it was. But he made an appearance giving a speech on Don Owen and saying goodbye.
Yeah. I kind of trying to remember how that went. I'm not real sure. It's been so long ago.
It was Piper Claus. He had the hat, the Santa hat on Don. And was that his idea, or did you encourage him, or do you know how that worked out?
I think that was Don, his idea. Him and Don worked that out. Yeah, it was him and Don. It was his idea.
What about, you know, Buddy Rose was there. Was there ever any talk of, you know, doing something with Buddy and Piper to sort of commemorate their legendary feud?
No, it was like, it's because we're going off the air and there's nothing to follow it up. They didn't really want to do any kind of angle or do anything, they just wanted to close it out, you know what I mean? And I think Piper threw that thing in with Don just the spur of the moment there that night, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And because it wasn't promoted going in. And so they didn't really want to sit down and try to do something with Buddy. And they, I mean, that I didn't hear that come up at all in the conversation, you know?
Gotcha. You know, Buddy Rose had just returned to Portland, and to put some context, this was after his infamous blowaway diet video on WWE TV, and he'd been working opening matches, putting over people like Kerry Von Erich and Shane Douglas. Matter of fact, I saw him at a live event in Portland in the opening match, putting over Coco Beware at the Coliseum there in Portland. You know, Buddy was really heavy, and, you know, did he have any effect coming back on business?
Well, he was, like, you know, Rose was one, he was a hell of a talent.
Yeah.
You know, and he did help some, but he didn't have the impact like he did before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He didn't have the impact like he did before I came in the territory, way before when he was over there so strong. Like, you know, it couldn't follow it. Well, plus because Buddy looked like he did, you know, that didn't help matters. You know what I mean? But he had such a history of following him there, and it just didn't get over the same.
No, and I feel like his promos had, he was stuttering more and kind of lost his place. He really had lost a step in my mind, kind of both mentally and physically. And while you got to do what you got to do in the WWE to get some airtime, I think although people remember him for the blowaway diet and 217 pounds, I think in the end, it really hurt his reputation in the eyes of particularly the Northwest fans.
Yeah, no, he just didn't ever have the stroke that he had before. You're correct. I feel the same way.
Yeah. You know, I was watching some of the old tapes going back like a month or two before the last show. It seemed like a lot of people had left the territory before the end, like the Olivers, Mike Winter, even a Billy Jack. Was that just by coincidence?
No, that was in the middle of, well, the guys that you're talking about left, as far as Mike Winter, had been there for a while. He was on the way out. Billy Jack, I don't remember. He did something, and Don told me to let him go. He pissed Don off about something. So that was a spur of the moment deal. Who was the other guy you're talking about?
The Olivers.
Neil Ripp just said that it wasn't, you know, he wanted to go. He was doing some kind of trucking stuff. I don't know why he stepped out or why he didn't want to work anymore. And so they just stepped out. So in my mind, I was in the process of trying to rebuild the crew, and then all of a sudden I got the word that we're closing down, you know. So it wasn't like something that we were planning ahead of time, you know.
One guy I'd forgotten about that was there, because he was right there at the very end but hadn't been there very long, was Brickhouse Brown.
Yeah. Yeah, Brickhouse. He wasn't there very long, was he? I don't think I remember him being there real long. I think he was on his way. He was just through. I don't think he was wanting to stay, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
He had something else going on, you know?
You know, the other thing that I was curious if it played a role, you know, we talked about the commission, we talked about the issues with the TV station and things. There was also a controversy in the media over Art Barr, who was Beetlejuice, had a sexual assault, an encounter with a minor, and there was a columnist for the local paper there who wrote about it extensively. Did that have any effect on the business?
You know, the thing was, and I remember I was in Pendleton that night that he supposedly had done that. I didn't see any girl in the dress room or anywhere, I can't say one way or the other if he did anything, but I remember just like he did, they just kept writing just really on top of it, all over him. But you know, whenever we took him out there, or Piper took him out there, and we did the thing and turned him to Beetlejuice, it got over so strong it buried anything they had to say. I mean, he was over his Beetlejuice big time with the kids and everything. And, I mean, I don't think it affected him at all.
I was just curious if that columnist, Margie Brulé, if that had anything to do with business. So as you look back on 30 years, what are your thoughts? I mean, that last show, did you cry? What was it like leaving the sports arena?
No, it's, you know, I had been there as long as a lot of people had been, but it was a sad night for me because I was thinking, like I said, all that tradition, Jim, and all those wrestlers have been through there, Jimmy Snuka, Roddy Piper, you name them, Dynamite Kid, it goes on and on and on, right? Yeah. And made their way through there and got their break started. And I was proud to be there and be on that crow's nest like those guys were and wrestle in that ring in Portland Wrestling. And then whenever Don Owens seriously told me he's shutting down, it was just I was just sad. I didn't cry. but I was just sad about it. It's like, damn, dude, you know, everything is going away now. And, it's, you know, there's no – I mean, whenever Vince took over – he not only took over wrestling, he put a lot of guys out of a job. Not just, you know, he gave a lot of guys jobs in WWE, but a lot of other guys didn't get there. They lost their jobs. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so it was a sad day for me.
And then it would be just like 5-6 months later, the end of May of 1992, when Don closed up for good and handed the keys, so to speak, over to Sandy Barr. What were the houses like in those early months of 1992?
See, like I said, I didn't work for Sandy hardly in there much. Well, what I heard from there was, you know, that the houses were not even in comparison to when we had TV.
Right.
Like, you lost the crowd really quick because they had no following. It's not that interesting. They don't watch it. They don't get any storylines anymore on TV like you used to. So it just dropped off drastically.
I guess like when Don wrapped up, the attendance apparently was like 80 people that night.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, it probably was. Yeah, I heard it cut way down. I didn't go to any of the shows, but I heard it was way down, you know?
Yeah, you had transitioned to Piper's Pit Transmission.
Yeah, me and Roddy had the automotive shop, and I said, man, I better get this thing going because I'm out of a job. But no, actually, I got called by WWE a couple times, but I'd already gave to come in after that. They were going to sign me in WWE, but I'd gave my word that I was going to make this business go. And Jim, I'd already been all over the world in wrestling for 14 years. And I just wanted to try. I wanted to have something left, you know, for my family and me whenever all those days were over, like now where I can't take those bumps, you know?
Right.
So that's why I did that. And I did that steady hard until I got the business on his feet, and then I ventured out and worked WCW a little bit, and I worked, you know, independent places around, stuff like that. So I just stopped performing, but I just didn't do it full time steady like I was.
Well, yeah, as I was reading your book, that call from WWE and Michael Hayes came around 1995. So I was wondering if they were going to bring you in like they did with Tracy Smothers and Tony Anthony, your old partner, and sort of give you a wacky character, and you'd sort of be like a featured enhancement talent. It seemed like that might be the slot, which really wouldn't be a good slot.
No, it wouldn't. And I thought of that myself, just like you have. I say, you know, a lot of times I admit it. I go, man, I should have went for it. I should have tried and went to the WWE, you know, see if I could make some money, some big, good money, because you're handing out them contracts. But then, you know something? I might have been a blessing in disguise that I didn't go. I guarantee you. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they were offering, but looking at the timing, I think that, you know, you and Tony Anthony could have been like a plumber tag team or something ridiculous like that.
I'm sure Vince would have probably buried the grappler idea and done something goofy
Yeah. You probably, because you were at Piper's Pit, you probably would have been a mechanic or something.
And the thing is, I couldn't have got that kind of gimmick over, and they would have buried it. Yeah. I'd have ended up doing jobs on national TV.
Yep.
You know?
No, that's what would have happened. You got to see your family and your daughters and everything, so I think it's probably the best thing to do.
That's what I think so, too. I think I made the right decision. It, a lot of times I regret it. The one thing that I tell you, Jim, it's funny. I wish that I could be put in the WWE Hall of Fame. And the only reason for it is because when I go to hire out to an independent guy for wrestling, I can charge more money. But because he gives you more stock if you, you know, if you're in the Hall of Fame. I was going to tell you something. Like I said, if I'd have went with Vince, maybe I got put in that Hall of Fame. Then when I go to wrestle for some of these independent guys, I'm going to charge more money. But you didn't get put in there. But still, I do work for these independent guys and do okay. You know, it doesn't matter. It just, I still do some independent stuff and have a good time out there.
Well, before we wrap up, just give us one more memory of Portland Wrestling and the Portland Wrestling TV.
Oh, I'm sorry. I remember what I was going to say. Can you give me just a second?
Of course.
It was, damn it. I'm going to tell you, I keep losing train of thought of what I was going to tell you about. Because I was talking about working for Vince and doing WG. Oh, I know what it was, boss. Okay. So you know the TV show that Vince has on where they show all those, his station he has that you can buy, a membership to watch all the old footage and stuff.
The WWE Network and Peacock, yeah.
The network. So they were airing tapes of me on there, and so I talked to Tony Atlas, and he said, check this out. I said, call up Vince, and he said, and there's somebody in this office, and tell him, you know, and he said, Vince will probably just pay you some money because he don't want to go, you know, if you sue him or try to get going to a lawsuit over because they're using your likeness for without asking you, which I never signed no papers for nobody to do that, right? And so they were putting me wrestling Junkyard Dog, and they were having tapes on there almost every week. I mean, wrestling Jake the Snake and everybody. And so I called the office, and I got some lady, and she asked me, she knew who I was, talked to her. She goes, okay, Mr. Denton, let me call you back later this week. She called back, and she goes, so what was it you were wanting for us airing those tapes? I said, all I want you to do is put me in a WWE Hall of Fame and give me a Legends contract. I said, you don't owe me anything. Because then I thought, well, I could charge more for independent spots when I do stuff because I'll get some name value out of it. And she goes, okay, Mr. Denton, listen, we have three attorneys on retainer. Which one would you like to speak to? I said, never mind, I'll talk to you later, bye. But anyway, I thought you'd think that's funny.
Well, you know, you didn't ask for the farm. It seemed fairly reasonable, but...
I know. Anyway, back to your question, sir. What was the question about...
Give us one last memory as we talk about the end of an era with Portland Wrestling Television.
I just remember... the one thing I remember is a funny thing that Don used to do. And matter of fact, it's Christmas time, so this is a good time to tell this story to people. And I wrestled for Don for 5 years. And every Christmas, and they would come in, you know, they'd have a Christmas show. And they'd always have the wrestling midgets on the Christmas show every year. And all the guys were in the dressing room before the matches would start, Don would come in to talk to the boys and say, have a good show. And his son, Barry, would have like a big shopping basket full of turkeys, you know, and they'd hand turkeys out to the boys for Christmas. And then they'd get to the midgets and he'd take out a little garnished game hen and give to the midget. Man, I don't know. I thought that was the funniest thing. The midgets, little Tokyo, would get so mad, boy, he'd cuss Don Owens. He'd give us all big turkeys and the midget a little garnish game hen and say, Merry Christmas, little Tokyo. I just thought that was a good memory.
That's a funny rib, yeah.
Don Owens is with it, too.
Well, look, man, Grappler, you've got some eBay auctions up there. You're selling some stuff, right?
I was going to say, if anybody, I got a new thing just to tell you about. If anybody wants to buy any a mask or pictures or books or anything, just go to eBay and look on eBay at The Real Grappler and look on my eBay site. You can buy it there if you want to buy some Christmas stuff for family or whatever or for yourself. And then I got a new thing. I got a new email. It's called The Real Grappler 1958 at gmail.com. I'm sorry. Go to the new site, The Real Grappler 1958 at gmail.com. And I got this new thing I put up, Jim. If they want me to call and wish a Merry Christmas or call and wish a Happy Birthday or anything like that, just call. We'll set up a time when to do it. And it's a reasonable price. And if anybody's a real Grappler fan, wants to talk to the Grappler, tell them to give me a call and beat that if you can.
I don't think you can beat that because, I mean, anyone listening to this can hear how great you are and how personable and warm. And seriously, the book, The Grappler, Memoirs of a Masked Man, written by Len Denton and Joe V, is very entertaining. You'll learn a lot. Plus, it is still, in my opinion, one of the best written books, wrestling books, that there is. I highly recommend it, and I have for years. So definitely check that out.
Jim, thank you so much for having me on. I love you, brother. You take care, huh?
I love you, too. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and we'll get you on again and talk about some more Portland wrestling history, my friend.
All right, my brother. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye, man. You, too. Bye. Check out The Real Grappler's store on eBay and be sure to email him for a phone message or anything at therealgrappler1958@gmail.com. Pick up his book, Grappler, Diary of a Masked Madman, wherever you buy your books. And thanks to Edward Thomas as well. Now, as far as the Portland WrestleCast, I don't know when the next episode will drop. Maybe something with me and Mike Miller. Maybe an episode if Don Owen gets into the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame. We will see. But before we go, I want to thank you for a wonderful year. You know, it was a year ago at this time that I was literally thinking that I was going to die. I was stricken to a hospital bed, trying to get the energy and strength and muscles back to walk again. Now, I'm scheduled in January to get another procedure on my vocal cords. Hopefully that will do the trick. Either way, thank you so much for all of your kind words, enthusiasm, and support. I really mean it when I say that I love each and every one of you for all you've done for me. I'm Jim Valley. This has been the Portland WrestleCast. As always, there's excitement in the air.
So long, everybody. From the Portland Sports Arena, this has been Portland Wrestling. Brought to you in part...